I've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and it's taking me over a year, and we're finally approaching chapter 4. And so it's a very slow process going through the book of Mark, but there's a lot to unpack in how Jesus gives himself to his ministry, how he gives himself to the will of his Father to bring us this gospel message. And so today we're going to be approaching one of the first parables that are recorded, which is of the sower and the seed. And according to what Jesus is telling us, there are four types of people in the world when it comes to hearing and receiving God's word. There are those who do not hear God's word, even though it's been spoken. There are those who receive God's word with great joy, but because of persecution of that word, they fall away. There are those who allow the cares of this world to choke out their faith in God. And then there are those who hear God's word, they receive it, and they apply it to their lives and thereby begin to produce fruit. Aside from those four different types of soil, there are two major points of view that are given to us in this parable. The first being of the sower, the one who sows the seed. And the second being the four types of soil upon which the seed falls. And so my prayer for you this morning, for myself, for anyone who's listening, is that God's word is truly heard today. And not just the sound of my words going past your ears, but truly heard, and that it makes a connection with you, that it resonates with you, and that you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit to walk in his righteousness as you're called to do. And so with that, if you could join me in prayer, thank you. Father, we come to you this morning, and we are so grateful that we have your word in front of us and that we can freely dive into it and discover the truth about who you are, the truth about the gospel message that Jesus brings. And we just ask this morning that you would open up our minds to understand the gospel, not just to simply hear the words, but to understand the message, and that you would open up our hearts to receive it and allow it to be rooted deep within who we are. We thank you for your Son who came to us and brought to us the kingdom of God and made it available for everyone to receive. And we thank you that he has not left us alone, but has given us the Holy Spirit who leads and guides into all truth. And we are so grateful that you are here this morning, whether in our homes, wherever we may be at this moment, that you are with us. We just thank you that you are gracious and that you are merciful and that you are so kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. And we'll be going through just verses 1 to 9 at the very beginning. Because the way that Mark writes this parable is that there are three sections. The first section being that Jesus tells the parable. And then there's a middle section where the disciples ask Jesus to explain the parable because they don't understand it. And so Jesus explains why he talks in parables. And then the third chunk of this section, he actually explains the parable. So today we'll be focusing on the first and the third portion. And the middle portion I'll focus on at another time. But for this morning, it'll just be the parable and its exposition. So Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, Mark writes, "And he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell along And some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprung up, and since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let them hear.'" So one of the first things we see here is yet again a large crowd is gathering around Jesus. And it gets to a point where he has to get into a boat so that he can teach them effectively and safely from a distance. This crowd as a whole is experiencing, or rather expressing a desire, a deep need, and they are coming to Jesus to have that need filled. There's a hunger that they have that can't be satisfied by food. And that leads me to the question, where are we today with our lives, with our spiritual walk with the Lord? Are you hungry for the Word of God? And if not, why not? I find that you being wherever you are, it fits us directly into the parable that Jesus is telling us today. And I believe this parable is meant to reveal the condition of our hearts. Which types of the four soils am I? Where am I in this situation? Where am I in what Jesus is talking about? And when you're presented with the opportunity to share the gospel, do you share the gospel or do you share your version of it? Or do you simplify it? Or do you water it down? Looking at how Mark records Jesus telling the parable, listen to how he starts it. It's as if he is bursting out by saying, listen, pay attention. He's urging you to pay attention. And then he closes the parable by saying, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. So he's urging us to pay attention to this parable. And I pray that we all have ears to hear what he has to say. So the first point of view, the first person that we're introduced to in this parable is the sower. And all he does is sow the seed. And I find that part to be incredibly important, that all he does is sow the seed. Now, who is the sower? And to answer that question, we need to first understand what is the seed that he is sowing. In Mark chapter 4, verses 14, Jesus gives us the answer. And it's very plain. He says, the sower sows the word. That's it. The sower sows the word. The seed is the word of God. It is the message of the gospel of God's kingdom coming to earth. The seed is the word of God that produces a faith that brings about rebirth. Paul writes about Israel rejecting the gospel in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 17. And he writes, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And I find that to be particularly interesting that he would say that they have not obeyed the gospel, as if the gospel is a command that needs to be obeyed. It implies that the gospel is a command where the only proper response is to accept and believe it. For if you don't believe the gospel, if you don't accept the gospel, you have then disobeyed the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And he continues to say, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And then Paul concludes to say, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The sower is the one who is sent to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and all he does is sow the seed, which is the word of God. The sower does not draw attention to himself. He does not preach his opinion or push his own agenda. He does not tell the crowd what they want to hear. He only sows the seed regardless of where it falls. He sows it regardless of where it falls. The word of God is for everyone. The stubborn, the unwilling, the enemy, the fake, the hypocrite, the murderer, the gossiper, the Hindu, the Buddhist, the dictator, the sexually immoral, the self-righteous, and the religious. The sower sows the seed regardless of where it falls. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Everyone needs to hear the gospel, but not everyone will accept it. But the point is that it is available and freely given to everyone. When we sow the seed of God's word, we have no right to exercise prejudice in choosing who we share it with and who we don't share it with. If we are presented with the opportunity to share the gospel with someone who not only believes, which is obvious, but an unbeliever who supports all the things that you don't, you have no right to exercise prejudice and not share the good news of salvation with that individual. The sower sows, regardless of where the seed falls. Now, it is not the responsibility of the one who sows the seed to grow it. As Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he says of himself, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the growth." As the sower, the only responsibility is to be faithful in sowing the seed, in sowing the word of God and nothing else. That's it. Now, my flesh is not satisfied with that. My flesh has a desire to take advantage of the situation, to sow the seed, to have a hand in its growth, and to want to and to see the fruit that it bears. But what happens if I don't get to water the seed? What happens if I don't get to see the fruit that it bears? I feel disappointed. I feel like I've been shorthanded. I don't get to see the fruit of whatever labor that I am putting into it. I feel ripped off. My flesh wants to control where the seed falls and how it grows so that I can say, look what I did. Look at how faithful I have been. How dare the sower take credit for the word that has been given to him and then to take credit for the fruit that it bears? In Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 28, Jesus shares a very short parable, and he says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." Now, I don't know the intimate details of your journey with God, and according to that, the condition of your heart. What are the big and little hang-ups that you still battle with? Where do you recognize that you fall short and you just can't seem to get past that point? Where are you calloused and where are you soft? Now, I can get lost in those concerns and let it sidetrack me from my one responsibility as a follower of Christ, which is to sow the seed of his word regardless of where it falls, regardless of what you are going through, and whether or not you even hear it. Whether or not there's even anyone listening on the other side of this camera. To sow the seed, even if it offends you, and even if it comforts you. Because however it is that you receive the word of God, that is between you and him. When we sow the seed, we must be careful not to let the idea of "I'm wasting my time" creep in. How many times didn't the prophets of the Old Testament warn God's people by his instruction, and they did not listen? They were warned, and they didn't listen, and they suffered the consequences of their neglect. So then I have to ask, was God's warning through the prophets a waste of time? And I would say no. Because through the warnings of the prophets, we see the mercy of God revealed. We see his compassion revealed for those who will disobey him, that there is still compassion. It reveals his character. We may as well have asked if the blood of Jesus being poured out was a waste. Because of all those who have and will continually reject him as Messiah. He knew the outcome. He knew those who would reject him, and he still came and he still gave himself up. Was it a waste? Nothing is a waste. Just sow the word. The reward of the faithful comes when they stand before Christ and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Otherwise, we will have a reward here on earth, and we can't take that with us into eternity. So I'll close this portion focusing on the sower and what his responsibility is as the sower with Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God."